Oh, sorry, are we keeping you up, Claire?
Yes, quite frankly. I should be sleeping. I should always be sleeping.
That's true, but we've got an ad to do for content's sake, yeah. Claire. We have to be here.
We do, but we don't do that yet.
Ah.
It's at the middle.
The middle, got
oh,
it.
Oh, mate, I know. We don't even know what day it is. Hello, welcome to Suggestible Pod. I'm Claire. There's James over there. We're married. We also just had a baby 2 weeks ago. When I say we, I mean me.
Hey, we both played our part.
Cut out of my tum-tum. And we're here now. But usually this show is a riot of fun and jokes about recommendations for things to watch, read and listen to.
See, what you've done here, though, if people have listened before, they know that it's not a riot of good fun recommendations. And for new listeners, they're going to go back and listen and be like, she lied to us.
I know, but I'm always hopeful. I always like to lead with a positive.
That's very good.
You know, just in case.
Open with a yawn. That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly. Look, my life.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Here he goes. He's yawning as well and stretching. And hello out there to any new parents. Mate.
All right.
This shit sucks.
Hey, our daughter will probably be listening back in years to come and she'll be like, oh, my parents, they never loved me. From day one, they didn't even love me.
My love for her is in no way impeded or hindered or like whatever by how much this sucks. I love her. I would do anything for her. I would lay down my life on a train track with a bad villain in front of her, the train. I don't make any sense.
It's a love-making scenario?
Yeah.
I'd lay down with a villain on a train track.
I would for her. I would. Any day of the week, mate. However, that does not mean that I love having to get up every 5 bloody minutes and be very sore and try and keep someone alive with my boobs. Real hard. It's really hard, and for some women maybe it's not hard. For me it's bloody freaking hard.
Well, I think a lot of people kind of underplay how difficult it is.
Yeah.
Some people it is probably very easy.
Maybe I just don't have like the woman of the world, Mother Earth gene.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you because I don't know any other mothers. But all I know is that for me, and maybe it's for you, but anything that I'm even remotely good at, I have to like force myself, like drag tooth and nail to be slightly good at anything. Yeah, so maybe it's just that kind of scenario.
That's how
with
I
you.
Feel about motherhood. Yeah. To be fair though, last time we have 2 kids and this is our second. Last time I gave birth in a very extraordinary, terrible way for like 19 hours of pain and trauma and it was like going to war. This time I had a cesarean. And that shit is great.
That's how you do it. If you get a good one, of course. You get a good
If you get a good one, that's a planned one. But tell us, James, you were there. What did you think of seeing a person cut out of a person?
It was all right. So I didn't even realize it was happening when they brought me into the room because it happened so quickly. Because I had to wait outside while they kind of drug you up and they give you the epidural and all those things. But as you mentioned, you can still feel, but you can't feel pain.
Yeah, it's so
trippy.
You
can feel touch.
Yeah, and I didn't believe the anaesthetist. He kept saying to me, this is perfectly normal. I said, it's not normal. In what world do you feel things and then but they tell you you won't feel pain but you can feel them bloody touching you? And he's like, we've already cut you open. You didn't feel that. And I was like, yes, but I can feel you rummaging.
Really rummaging around.
Rummaging around in my nether regions.
That's right.
And it was like, but weirdly, no pain or hot or cold. Apparently they've been doing sneaky tests on me.
Oh, really? The whole time?
To check that I couldn't feel nothing.
Yeah, right. They've just got a hot plate of food that they're eating off you or a nice cool drink.
That's what it was like, though, because they were all talking about their weekends and the guy was like, the anaesthetist was like, this is the third time I've been in here tonight.
They were so cash. When that guy came in, because he was trying to like talk to me, like to distract me, he was like, so guess what's happening? What's your kid's name? And I just wanted to be like, hey, can you shut the fuck up? Because I'm trying to like concentrate. Like I don't need you like fucking blathering away at me. I'm trying to talk to my wife who's been cut in half. Can you shut your fucking mouth for a minute?
To be fair, that is your go-to phrase that you want to say to everybody that you never do.
That's true.
It's not just about me being cut.
Because I'm trying to
talk
to you and be like, hey, you all right? How are we doing? You know what I mean?
And your face is like picture of colourful happiness.
Yeah, I was fine.
And I'm always skeptical whenever you look like that because I know that's not how you feel internally. And you're like, hey, everything's great.
Well, I didn't realise it was happening because when they called me into the room, it happened so quickly. Because I didn't realize that the surgery was like about to happen and the baby was like 2 minutes away from being yanked out of you. Do people care about this? I guess they do. But so I didn't realize when I came in, I had my scrubs on and they're like, okay, walk around here or whatever. I'm like, oh, and I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. This is happening now. Cool.
And there's like a little baby's head out of my tum and a baby screaming.
That's right.
Crazy.
And they're like, have a look. and I've said this story to a lot of people who we mentioned, but because they're like, look over the sheet and have a look at the baby sticking out of your wife or whatever. Yeah. And part of me is like, I've never seen this before. You know, I'm not really squeamish with blood or anything like that. So but I don't know. So maybe I see this and I faint. You know what I mean? I've never, I don't know.
Love that that's your immediate reaction. Yeah. Like, am I a fainter?
Well, I don't want to like fall down and hit like a tray of instruments and fling it across the room and a doctor gets a scalpel in the eye or whatever.
In a deep way, I feel like I wish that you had. Because yeah. Then forever I could hold that over.
Well, that's
you.
The other thing. I don't need that in my life, do I? Because we've got a friend who was asked to leave the room during childbirth because he couldn't handle it. Like he kept like freaking out, which is like, you know what? It's a very reasonable response.
Yeah. Wasn't there a friend who, like, the nurse passed him, like, a warm towel to wipe his wife's face?
That was a friend of mine who he worked with, a woman whose husband, who she hated. Like, she just every day be like, I hate this guy. But so what happened? She was like, you know, she's in the middle of labor and the nurse hands him a cool towel to, like, mop her brow. And he goes, oh, thank you. And he, like, mops his own brow. But to be fair, to his credit, like there's a lot going on. You know what I mean? Like you're not thinking straight.
No, there's a lot going upside on down. For you.
No, of course, I know. And I'm not trying to diminish the actual situation. I'm just saying it's a very high tension, strange scenario people are oddly calm at the same time.
Yeah, they are. So super it's calm.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, anyway. But we're blathering on about this for a very long time.
Anyway, it was great how you felt the baby being yanked out of you and you went, whoa!
It was, yeah, because it's like they don't tell you this. They cut it like a little kind of, what, how long is it? Maybe 20 centimetres? Not even.
It'd be less. Not even, I reckon it's 12, 15
like
centimetres.
Very low at the base of your tum. And then they push you like a tube of toothpaste. You know when like the top bit is all squidged and you need to get the bit at the bottom up to the top? That is what it feels like. They're squeezing you like a tube of toothpaste until the baby kind of goes out the top.
And then they're like,
sorry,
have a
if
look.
Anyone's eating dinner while they're listening to this.
And the other thing about them being like, have a look, I've heard in other scenarios people weren't allowed to look. Like the sheet's up and they're like, do not look over the sheet.
Wife's organs are like bowls.
And so I'm like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to look. And they're like encouraging me. They're like, stand up, have a look. I'm like, stand up. By the way, I haven't told you this. The floor covered in blood.
What?
Like there was so much blood.
Really?
Yeah, it was nuts.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because you know, because you're also, I don't know what it was, because you're full of fluid.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was just
full of
blood.
Something. Yeah, but sunshine, you know, and lollipops.
Because it's not all baby in there. You know what I mean? There's like
other things. Because the whole thing, the baby exists in, this is not a parenting podcast, PS, but anyway, the baby exists with like the roof in this bubble. So the roof is like the placenta that looks like a piece of liver.
Yes.
And then it's a bubble and a lot of liquid in that bubble. And then the baby's hanging out in the middle of it.
It's mostly liquid.
So it's like a giant beach ball full of liquid with a weird meaty roof.
That's a pretty apt metaphor.
Yeah, crazy.
So
times.
I remember I was looking down and I heard this boosh, and there's like this giant like puddle of blood or whatever just like hit like the doctor's foot and shoe.
Oh my god! And I'm like, better than my shoe. Yeah. I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah. No, I imagine you did.
Jesus. Well, anyway, I'm here. I survived.
It worked out all right. So.
And she's beautiful and very healthy and we love her.
She is, absolutely.
Bits. And hello, baby girl, if you're listening from the future, we love you. I didn't mean it when I said this is hell. I actually did, but I love you.
But it's not.
Just not.
But the hell's not directly correlated to the person. It's just like
no,
the
it's
scenario.
Not. Is it? It's just the scenario is bloody hard. However, it's getting on the ups and we're here. So we're Suggestible Pod. We have things to recommend you. Are you ready?
I think we should
stop talking about the baby now.
I agree.
Do you want to go first?
I'm happy or you can if you want.
Okay, I'll go first quickly because mine's only short because my brain has only got limited capacity to look at things.
Yeah, what's ours are different bloody other week? Am I right, listeners? Am I right?
Well, clearly my brain doesn't function very well because I decided to marry you.
Whoa, I was joking, but you took it real. I didn't like that.
Anyway, the delightful actor, Andrew Scott, who I have a little crush on, not as much as I have a crush on my husband over there. But
you're allowed to have a bigger crush on
him.
Yeah,
he's pretty sexy.
That's a real cuck move on my behalf just then.
He's gay though, so you're safe.
Doesn't matter. You can still have a crush on him.
He's pretty bloody sexy. He's got an old sweet accent. Anyway, he plays the hot priest in Fleabag, one of my all-time fave shows of all time, written by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is also another one of my crushes. She's bloody amazing, and Andrew Scott is brilliant in the second season. If you haven't seen it, oh my gosh.
Go
and do yourself a favor. I know you have. Yeah, it's brilliant. Anyway, he's also really great in – there's a series that we watched recently on – is it Stan? You know, the series of love stories?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that as well.
Anyway, on Emilia Clarke's Instagram
– Modern Love, it's called.
Modern Love. Thank you very much. Emilia Clarke's Instagram, and Emilia Clarke you may know from the old Game of Thrones.
I know Emilia Clarke.
Yes, she plays Daenerys. Anyway, she posted this incredibly beautiful little video of Andrew Scott reading a poem by Derek Mann called Everything is Going to Be All Right. And I know how much you love a good poem over there, Jim Jam.
I don't.
He hates it. But this is like – so comforting and so sexy.
Ooh, hello.
It's like all my dreams come true. It's like a sexy man reading me poetry, which I'll only be able to see online because I don't live with a man who hates poetry. Anyway, it's just, it's beautiful. And he's dedicated it to the Men Against Cancer Ireland organization. And It's just lovely. Amelia writes, it comes under the prescription for need for reassurance at this time that we're living through. It is absolutely so good just for your heart, for your loins.
Your loins. But warm them up. Just,
I don't know, for me as well because of like global events and also localized events.
Sure.
It made me cry and it's really beautiful. So I recommend that. That's my first reco.
Do I have a recommendation?
I don't know. Tell me, James.
Actually, I do.
He does. Hallelujah.
This is actually a podcast that's called Staying In with Emily and Kamale, which I've been listening to.
I love those guys from The Big Sick.
That's right. So they're writers and producers and actors, or one of them is. Big Sick, Stuba. This is some of the things they've done or been in. Big Sick, Stuba, Silicon Valley, the new movie The Eternals, which is coming out, which he got super ripped for. I'm sure you've seen all the pictures on the internet.
Oh, he did the thing that everyone always does, like Chris Pratt.
That's what you got to do.
Oh, they get all rippedy.
If you're Robert Pattinson, who's like, I'm not working out for Batman or whatever. That happened recently.
And didn't they just put him in a suit that had muscles on it? Or that was Ben Affleck?
No, Ben Affleck was relatively fit for the first one at least. For the second one, for the Justice League one, not so much. But anyway, it doesn't matter because, you know, you can CGI, you're in a muscle suit. It doesn't matter anyway.
He's so tired, anyway, guys.
When I first heard of them, I used to listen to a podcast when it was around called The Indoor Kids where they talked about video games. When we lived up north, I listened to that like almost every day. And then they stopped when they started to around the time like Big Sick kind of came out because they couldn't kind of do both. Anyway, they're back with this podcast because they're staying indoors like everybody else is or should be at this point, really, depending on where you are in the world. And,
all right, yada, yada. Get to the bloody point, mate. I've got
anyway,
a baby to feed.
What's interesting is that Emily is immunocompromised. So they're often talking about that on Twitter and people are also like, well, get over. Oh, no.
It's a baby. She's in here. Oh, little one.
That's right. She's all right.
She's cool. Yeah. She made her first pod appearance.
Yay.
Yay.
So we're good.
Are we good?
Yeah. If you hear it, something, the sound of like patting, it's just me patting myself on the back.
As he does every day, ritualistically.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
So they talk about things that they're watching or listening or playing. They talk about like fitness regimes, how to like keep your healthy state of mind, recipes. It's basically a better version of our success. Yeah. So look, we don't know how often this is going to be or how sporadic we're going to be with this. So I'd say if you like this and you want something better, then yeah, definitely check it out. Staying In with Emily and Kamale. Yeah.
Cool. Or don't, and keep listening to us because we're going to
Do the back catalogue of this first.
Correct, exactly. I do love The Big Sick as well.
It's a great movie.
So good. And he's really good in the one about Silicon Valley called Silicon Valley.
Yes, the one about Silicon Valley.
TV show. That's really good too.
What do you got next?
Oh, what have I got next? Well, my other favourite thing, as you know, is Jennifer Garner's Instagram.
Boy, do I ever.
Because I think she is bloody top. And this week she delighted me so much because on her Instagram she does this like ridiculous dance to a song called Think About Things by Dad I Make Music. And it's just, it's silly. It's stupid. She's kind of bouncing around, dancing, doing laundry and drinking wine. It doesn't even sound that great, but I've watched it on repeat so many times.
Hey, man, whatever brings you joy,
and
you know?
I just feel like she really understands me. So she really cheered me up a whole lot. And I feel like at the moment we just need as much cheering up as we possibly can bloody get, don't we? Realistically.
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely the case. Like I said, whatever makes you happy, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean.
Whatever brings you joy.
Whatever floats your boat. Yeah, so that is Jennifer Garner on Instagrammos. Yeah, what's your next thing?
This is a show that's on Stan in Australia, but I think it's Hulu if you're in other parts of the world. It's called The Great, An Occasionally True Story. And it's about Catherine the Great, Empress of Russia. Basically, she marries this buffoon. She marries into this family. It's Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult who play the two leads in this. And it's very similar to The Favourite. If you've seen The Favourite.
Yes, I loved The Favourite.
With Olivia Coleman and Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone. And the reason it's from the same writer, Australia's own Tony McNamara. Because this started as a play in 2008 and now it's become this limited series. And it's about her trying to kind of get up in this broken kind of aristocracy and system of government in Russia in whatever year this is set. 18th century? I can't really remember. But it's this dark comedy and it's lunacy and it's about the class system and sex and science. And it's just a real blast. I've been really enjoying it. I think I've got one left now.
Ooh.
To go. And it's very well acted and it's just I think the biggest takeaway from me is that it's just very funny. And it's just this odd period piece where also really terrible and horrible things happen in it also. And there is that kind of message behind it, but it's a lot of like debauchery.
Debauchery. I'd love some of that in my life.
There's a bit where they take a dog and they test out a parachute and throw it off the palace roof and things like that.
What?
If you want to see a bear get shot, there's a lot of good stuff happening.
A lot of insane stuff happened in that, like Didn't we go and visit that castle in Liechtenstein where the guy had like an elephant on his roof?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, there was just people with a lot of money.
He was a moron.
Yeah, he was a king who was a bit of a moron.
Yeah, and that's a lot of this is like the emperor's just like, you know, he's an absolute buffoon.
But they've just got so much money and power and no sense.
And they think that everybody loves them and that everything they say is correct because they were chosen by God and all this kind of stuff.
Sounds familiar.
What?
Who could that sound like?
Are you talking about me specifically?
Possibly.
With my middling podcast?
Or just maybe some of the leaders we have globally at the correct point in time.
Oh, we don't get political on here, do we?
We get no politics-os, no. So, hey, also, just on
You should watch it, by the way.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome.
Really like it.
You know what I'm doing, which is very sad, I have to admit, and I have to admit up to you on this show.
I love big things.
When I'm going through a really hard time, instead of watching new things, I like to watch things that I've watched before many times.
Very good.
I feel like maybe it's a security thing. I don't know. My friend Chanel loves to watch episodes of Friends and Harry Potter. Those two things make her very happy. I, at the moment, have just been sitting watching Scrubs. Well, I've been looking after the old baby.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, just like episode after episode. And it's so crazy because we used to watch when we first started dating.
We did.
So it brings back a lot of nostalgia for me. However, it's such a lovely show, except it's so problematic.
Yes, it is.
There's
a lot of like, you're gay and that's gay.
Yeah, you're a woman and, roll your eyes, or the hot, sexy nurse.
Ooh.
Or like, there's a lot of issues with it, even though there's some also quite progressive things about race and, you know, all lots of different aspects and quite touching moments about, you know, what it's like to be in a hospital. It's just so funny because I remember when I watched it, I remember thinking, oh, this is such a great woke show. Not that I use the word woke back in like when the early 2000s, but
I was because I was very woke. So I was already
like 10 years before everybody else. But that was the vibe that I remember thinking at the time, was like, ooh, progressive. And now I'm watching it going, ooh, that's awkward.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm really loving it.
I was just going to say, that's the thing Lisa Kudrow says about Friends, when they were like, people are like, they're all white people in Friends or whatever, which is true. It's, you know, that's like, that can't
except
be argued.
Except when Ross dated the paleontologist.
That's true. And that was a thing or whatever. And for that time. But she said something like, you got to kind of look at it as like a snapshot of the time, not as in like, this is the correct way that things should be. You can acknowledge that and still enjoy something, I feel.
Yeah, because they also had things that were very progressive for that time.
That's right,
like Phoebe was a surrogate and they did things to do with like abortion and all kinds of things, adoption and
yeah, absolutely,
yeah, and relationships and yeah, it is. It's really interesting, and I guess that's like Sex in the City. People talk about that too, that it's problematic.
Yeah,
except that in actuality, it was a snapshot and really progressive for to hear women's voices and yes. women talking openly about sexual desire that's at right. that time. Exactly. Even though now, in hindsight, it looks kind of problematic. Okay, I have one more recommendation.
Cool.
One of our beautiful friends, Kerry, gave us this amazing book, which made me cry. It's called Extraordinary. It's a children's book by Penny Harrison and Katie Wilson, and it's just divine. If you have a person in your life who has just had a baby or has kids, nope. I totally recommend it. It's one of those things where like kids will like it and go, oh, that's kind of nice. And then they probably won't read it again. But adults will read it and cry and then read it some more. It's just about the ordinary and the extraordinary. And it has really beautiful illustrations. It's a gentle tale about reaching for the stars and being extraordinary, but remembering the ordinary too. Extraordinary celebrates the best moments in life. The ones we share with friends and family. They may be simple. They may be ordinary. But there are moments we will treasure forever. Okay, can you tell that I'm full of hormones?
Oh, that's lovely. Good
at the moment, and all I've got is like things that are small that give me joy. But however, I will pass those on to you, dear listener, because that is the vibe I'm given.
I love vibes.
I love things. Cool.
All right, is that the show?
That is the show.
And guess what? People can review this show. They can do it in app. It really helps out. People, we got a lot of reviews for the last time we did the show a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, we took a week off because Claire was too lazy. But this is from BS Might 7, a pretty great spin-off of a much more successful podcast. 5 stars. James and Claire recommend fun things while their marriage is on display for the world to listen to. Also, the main reason I'm writing this review is to help unlock the sweet content of Claire singing her Frozen COVID parody.
Oh, no.
Which you have not put up on Instagram yet, Claire.
I can't do that.
Or we could put it at the end of this episode. Collins could edit in.
Oh, Lord, the humiliation. Maybe I'll put it on the
you
end of this.
You said that you would do it.
No, you suggested that they would do it. They would do it if they
gave me
the review.
You could have stopped me, but you didn't. You don't have to put the whole thing in. You don't have to put the whole thing.
Why don't we just put Andrew Scott reading a sexy poem instead?
Nah.
Oh, Jesus. All right, fine. I'll send the audio. I'm not sending no visuals. I'll send some audio to Colin so you can add it in.
The whole thing?
Oh, Lord. Not the whole friggin' thing.
A snap it.
All right, fine. A bit of it.
Okay, cool.
No judgment. I do sound like I'm taking myself seriously in it, and that is because I bloody well am. Because it was really hard.
Well, you got to do it. I feel like you got to sell it. You know what I mean? You got to do it in earnest.
Yeah, I know. Well, but I also am very aware that it's terrible. And I did not write the lyrics. Your brother did. Anyway, right. Okay.
The brother Collins, that you do it. Mason does not like.
Great. Okay. I also have a letter if you would like to suggest things for us to talk about on this very show. Then you can email the pod at suggestiblepod@gmail.com. We just love to hear from you. Even if you don't have a suggestion, you just want to say hello, drop us a line. This one is from Jennifer Richman. Hello, Claire and James.
Hello.
+3, 2 babies and a Mason. Ooh, my husband got me into the Weekly Planet a couple of years ago. I'm pretty well obsessed and listen to it more often than he does. And I find myself very often trying not to talk about episodes he hasn't listened to yet. I'm a world-class spoiler. Me too. But thanks to the Weekly Planet, I've gotten into Suggestible. And so I'd love to suggest Hyperbole and a Half by Ali Broche.
Hyperbole or hyperbole?
I think it's hyperbole.
I think it's hyperbole.
Okay, let's go with hyperbole. No, it's hyperbole. You were correct. It's several years old, so it's entirely possible one or both of you have read it. I have not. But Claire, if you haven't, I think you'd absolutely love it. Please
what do I mean?
Check it
I
out
love
if
things.
You haven't already. Yeah, but you know, everyone knows you don't read. Keep it up, cuties. I'm a giant fan and wait for the new podcast all the time. Thanks. Kiss. Well, Jennifer, you're a ledge. Thanks, mate. That you can email that show to us at suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
We'd appreciate that. We'll probably That's be it. Back next week, but we might not, will we? You never know.
You never know. We're just flying by the seat of our pants.
That's right. That's what I'm doing with Weekly Planet at the moment. It's kind of like however we can kind of squeeze it in.
Correct. Demondo.
But, of course, the Weekly Planet takes priority because it is a more popular show.
Correct.
Okay.
We need to eat.
Yes, we really do. All right. See you next week, maybe.
Bye.
Bye.
The window is open, so's that door. We didn't know they did that anymore. Who knew we'd missed 8,000 of our mates? For weeks we've roamed these empty halls. Why have a classroom with no class? Finally they're opening up the gates. They'll be actual real-life students. It'll be totally strange. Wow, am I so ready for this change? 'Cause for the first time in forever. They'll be learning, they'll be fun. For the first time in forever, we'll be working without our moms. Don't know if we're elated or gassy, but we're somewhere in the zone. 'Cause for the first time in forever, we won't be alone.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.